Okay, welcome to our three ideas in 30 minutes, a special Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, Bracious, Vezos HaBracha edition. For those who are not here usually, we meet every Thursday night. Hopefully when the clocks change, it'll be at around 8 o'clock, but right now it's right after Mincha Maariv. Everyone is always welcome and invited, and our learning each and every week is for an aliyah for the neshama of Esther Tehila Bas Gabriel Pinchas. So I was planning to do an idea on Hoshana Rabbah, an idea on Shmini Atzeres, an idea on Bracious. And then I was talking to Binyamin. Is Binyamin here? I was talking to Binyamin, who didn't stay. But I was talking to Binyamin, and he said, what about Vezos HaBracha? No one ever pays attention to Vezos HaBracha. So I said, okay, this year we'll redeem Vezos HaBracha, and we'll have an idea for Simchas Torah morning that you'll have something to say on Vezos HaBracha. So when it comes to Vezos HaBracha, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the brachos to each of, or he's repeating brachos for each of the 12 tribes. And he comes to the tribe of Gad. And the Pasuk says, Gad Amar Baruch Marchiv Gab. As our school translates it, blessed is he who broadens Gad. Shaken Tarav Zorov Kakod. Vayar Reishis Lo. He chose the first portion for himself. Kisham Chelkas Mechokek Safun. And it's there where the lawgiver's plot is hidden. What in the world is this pasuk talking about? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi tells us, Baruch Marchiv Gad, Milame Chayitchumo Shogav Marchiv Vaholech Klape Mizrach, that God's plot of land was very vast. It was very large. Now we know this. We know this from Parshios, Matos, and Maaseh, that Reuven and Gad come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say, we don't want to cross over the Jordan River. Instead, we want to stay on the east bank of the Jordan River. Why? Because what do we have a lot of? We have a lot of cattle. And it happens to be that there's a vast amount of land here. There's a lot of property here. And so we know that the tribe of God had a Marchiv Gad. There was a lot of land there. What does it mean when it says Vayar Reishis Lo? So it means that they were going to take first. They were going to take before everyone was going to go into Eretz Yisrael. They were going to get their plot of land. And what does it mean that there was Chelkak Mechokek Safun, the lawgiver's plot was hidden? There, Rashi tells us Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu does not get into Eretz Yisrael. We know that he's buried on the east bank of the Jordan River. And we also know that nobody knows where he's buried. That's Rashi. What in the world is it talking about? So Rabbi Simon, in his Sefer Imrei Baruch, first quotes from the Chidah. You have it on page number one, where he says that Rashis are not disjointed Rashis, but rather it's telling us a narrative. That God wanted to dwell on the east bank because they wanted a lot of land. They wanted to be able to plow, and they wanted to be able to have their animals roam free. Right? Anyone who's been out west knows. That's why there are farms out west, because there's vast lands. The animals can just run free, and they can roam. That's what God wanted. But there was a problem. Once Moshe Rabbeinu was buried there, and what do we know about Moshe Rabbeinu's burial place? We know that there is no way of knowing where it is. It's hidden, which means that it impinged upon where God was able to let their animals roam, because they weren't sure exactly where Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be buried. So because they had to account for Moshe Rabbeinu's burial place, so it limited, it restricted where they were able to actually let their animals roam. So that, says the Chidah, is why there's a special bracha, Baruch Marchiv Gad. That even though the plot of land of God is restricted, but the bracha is that it should be once again expansive, even though Moshe Rabbeinu is buried there. That is the Chidah. Rabbi Simon here quotes beautifully on page number two. He quotes from the Av Beis Din of Papa, the Sefer Vayechi Yosef. And he says, Al Pi Drush, what does it mean, Baruch Marchiv God? Again, the words in English translate as, blessed is he who broadens God. What does that mean, who broadens God? So he quotes here the Gemara in Shabbos. And the Gemara in Shabbos says that Gimel Dalet, that the letters Gimel and Dalet stand for Gmul and Dalim, which translates in English as someone who, how do you translate that? Gmul Dalim. Someone who does good for those who are downtrodden. In other words, someone who does a sense of chesed. Someone who does, it doesn't just focus on themselves, but someone who's focused on the other person. Says the Sefer Vayechi Yosef, that now we understand what it means, Baruch Marchiv God. God is an acronym for Gomel Dalim, someone who does good for other people, someone who does kindness, someone who does chesed. Therefore, someone who's Marchiv God, who expands God, means that he is, looks at the world with a certain set of lenses. He looks at the world, not what he can take for himself, but rather what he can give for other people. He says, therefore, Iker Chashiva Shel Ribo in Achasim, Laharbos Tzedakah. We thought that the whole reason why God wanted to stay on the east bank of the Jordan River was because they were more interested in their cattle, they were more interested in the size of their houses than anything else. But when you're Marchiv God, when you expand the tribe of God, Gomel Dalim, what do you really have? What you really have is the Chashiva Shel Ribo in Achasim Laharbo Tzedakah. You want more and you want bounty, not to keep for yourself, but rather to be able to give it to other people. And he says, that's Baruch Marchiv God. Shabracha ba'osher, the bracha of wealth. Rak azhu bechlal baruch, the only time it's blessed is if it is Marchivin Osios God, is if it's through the letters of God. Gomel Dalim. In other words, if you don't keep it for yourself, but rather it's when you share it with other people. Therefore, says the Vayichi Yosef, what the Torah is really telling us here is the secret to success and wealth. You could have the biggest bank account, and you could have the biggest house, and the fanciest car. You could have all of the material pleasures in the world. But, Baruch, if you want it to be blessed, if you want it to be a bracha, then it's only if it's Marchiv God. It's only if it is Gomel Dalim. It's only if you use it to help other people. If you use it for yourself, then it's selfish. Then it's narcissistic. But if you use it to help other people, then it is Baruch. So you can have the house, and you can have the car, and you can have the big bank account. But if it's only to keep for yourself, then it's a curse. But it's if you share it with other people, then it becomes a bracha. This dovetails, for those who've been in the Nusach Svardman, I've actually spoken about this three straight times, but it dovetails beautifully what we said in the Shabbos in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, where over there we quoted the first time the Sukkah is mentioned, which is in Sefer Yonah. Yonah finds himself on the outskirts of Nineveh, and he's looking at Nineveh. And the pasuk tells us, "Vayismach Yonah al kikayon simcha gedola." Yonah's sitting there all by himself, and the pasuk tells us that he is simcha gedola, that he is extremely happy. And we commented, "What a sad state for Yonah Hanavi." Here, Yonah Hanavi is sitting all by himself; he's not sharing it with anybody else, and yet he's vayismach simcha gedola. And we contrasted that with the simcha that should be on Yontif. If you look at the Rambam's description of Yontif, of what real simcha is versus what simcha's kreso is, the Rambam says simcha's kreso is when you sit by yourself and all you care about is your own table and all you care about is your own bottle of wine and your own meat and the own gifts you're able to give to your family. That, says the Rambam, is simcha's kreso. But real simcha, the Rambam says, is not when you keep it to yourself, but rather when you share it with other people. And that is what the Vayichi Yosef says, Baruch Marchiv God. That if you want your wealth to be blessed, if you want it to be a bracha, then it's by Marchiv God. It's when you share it with other people. Marchivin Osios God b'miluim lios gomel dalim. When it's not just for yourself, when you don't just look at Yontif for how my table looks, and did I get wine for myself, and did I get meat for myself, and do I have a beautiful table for myself? But it's rather when you also think about other people. What a beautiful kavana to have when you're sitting on Simchas Torah and you get to this pasuk, Baruch Marchiv God, to remind yourself that all the brachos that Hashem gave you, and all the wealth, and all the affluence, and all the gifts that Hashem gave you, it's not to keep to yourself, but rather it only becomes a bracha when we share it with other people. That is idea number one. Beautiful idea from the Av Beis and the Papa, Sefer Vayichi Yosef. Idea number two comes from the Lev Aaron, from the Satmar Rebbe in Monroe. This Sefer I got when we went on the fly-in 2 years ago. We had Yechidus at about 1 in the morning with the Satmar Rav, and he gave out a few Svarim. I think Rabbi Gober got on Pirkei Avos, maybe? Haggadah? You got on the Haggadah? I think he gave some on Pirkei Avos. I got on Sefer Vayikra. Okay, so I decided yesterday, I said, let me take out Sefer Vayikra. It has Parshas Emor in there. Let me see if he says anything that could be relevant for Hoshana Rabban. Taka, he does. If you look on page number 3, the Lev Aaron points out that, of course, Hoshana Rabba, the main part of the day is the Hoshanas, where we take the Arava and we beat it to the ground. The Aravos star. I spoke about how the Adasim get the raw end of the deal. I spoke about that on the first day. So now we're going to speak about Aravos as well. And of course, he quotes the famous Medrash that each of the Dal and Minim represents a different type of the Jew, that one has taste and smell. That's the Jew that has Torah and mitzvahs. And one has only taste and no smell. One has smell and no taste. And then the poor Arava. The Arava has nothing. Says the Lev Aharon, says the Satmar Rebbe, quoting the Chozem Lublin, that the Aravos represent a certain sense of humility. A certain sense of humility. You see, we trick ourselves into a certain mindset. We think that the reason why we get certain things from Hashem is because we deserve it. So we make almost like a subconscious barter system with Hashem. And I think anyone who's honest with themselves throughout Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur did this in some form or another. At some point, you stepped into a Shmoneh Esrei, and again, whether consciously or subconsciously, you created a barter system with Hashem. You said, Hashem, if I do this, then almost like implicitly, you're going to do that for me as well. And so if I do this a little bit better this year, then maybe Hashem, you'll give me what I've always wanted this year as well. And again, some people say it consciously, some people subconsciously, but we assume that if we do certain things, we'll warrant and we'll merit the brachos from Hashem. Says the Chozem Lublin, that's not the case at all. Says the Chozem Lublin, let me cut it straight. None of us are really deserving of anything from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Anything Hashem gave us is for one reason and one reason only, and that is because it's a gift. It's a chesed from Hashem. It's a chesed from Hashem. That's how the Ramchal starts his Derech Hashem. The Ramchal starts Derech Hashem by saying that Hashem didn't need to create the world. Hashem doesn't owe us anything. Anything he does from us is because Hashem is kulo tov, he's kulo chesed, and he wants to give, and he wants to share. And therefore, if we want to imitate Hashem, so we have to have that same quality, we also have to share. So he says, it's not because we are worthy. It's not because we're deserving. But rather, it's because Hashem wants to do chesed for us. So in fact, there's an irony to the chesed that Hashem does for us. The less we feel we are worthy and deserving, ironically, the more Hashem wants to give from us. Because then we realize that the only reason we get brachos from Hashem is because of Him, having nothing to do with me. It's not because I feel that if I do X a little bit better, now I'm worthy from Hashem. No, I get from Hashem simply because He is a gomel chesed, because He wants to do good. Sometimes I might be a little bit more worthy, sometimes a little bit less worthy, but by and large, most of us, if we do the accounting, are probably not really worthy. Rather, it's a chesed from Hashem. So the more humble we make ourselves, he writes, actually, the better off we are. Because then we realize that the only reason we get chesed from Hashem is simply because it's chesed from Hashem, not because I am worthy of it at all. If you look on the right-hand side, he says, the fourth line, Ach beratzon Hashem sheyeda adam. Hashem wants mankind to know. Shekola tova ba'a lo milfnei Hashem, v'lo yachzik tovas l'nafshei. That any good is strictly from Hashem, not because you and I are really deserving. V'lachein af mishu chote. Therefore, someone who sins, imu yodeas matzavava levavo nishbar bekirbo, if you feel really bad about it and your heart is broken, Hashem Yisbarach Oseimo Nisim V'Niflos V'Nizgalu Ha'idei Sisrei Torah. Hashem actually is going to do more chesed for you. Why? Bishvil she'Hashem Yisbarach Yodea Shelo Yiska Asatzmo. Because it's not because I'm arrogant. It's not because I think I'm deserving of it. It's simply because I throw myself before Hashem. I say I'm not worthy at all. And I'm dependent on one thing and one thing only, and that is your chesed. Shu Nishbar V'Shafel Ba'atzmo V'Yodea She'enu Royal L'Kolze. I'm not worthy of this at all. And the only reason I get it is if you want to give it to me, Hashem. It's if you want to do that chesed for me. He says in the next paragraph, now we understand the dal and minim. If anything, I would say that the esrog and the hadasim and the lulav, they're better than the aravos. We should have one day of the holiday for the esrog. Why do we have a day of the holiday for the arava? He says, aval arava ain't lo tam v'lo reach, the aravos has nothing. V'lama nivchara, why was it chosen? Ach lefi amar yesh lomar she'arava yesh bo milas hanava. Because the aravos teaches us humility. Skip to the next paragraph on the left-hand side. V'lechein siva Hashem Yisrach she'yogdu arba minim biyachad. We take all four of them together. Lo chabedeshe yushba gelo minim al arava. We think it's so that the other three minim will have an influence on the poor Arava. He says, no, it's the Arava that should have influence on the other three minim. Adraba Arava tashpia alehem. The Arava should have influence on them. Because what does the Arava remind us of? That it's not because of us, but rather it's because of the chesed from Hashem. I skipped a few lines. Arava romez leben adam she'ein bo lo torah v'lo masim tovim. B'mayis elevavo. B'mayis nase es asmo. When you feel that you have nothing, when you've gone through the Yom Nirayim season, and maybe you didn't get what you wanted out of it, maybe you didn't have that aha moment, v'lachinu shuffle b'emes v'anav, and you come to Hoshana Rabbah, and you feel so lonely, you feel so broken. You say to yourself, I tried, but I didn't feel it, I didn't connect. Machma zeh, it's exactly that feeling. You have nothing to hang your hat on. It's when you realize that it's not because of you, but rather it's because of Hashem, then you get the chesed from Hashem. So it's dafkan Hoshana Rabbah. When we take the aravos to remind us that really, even if you don't have anything, when you don't have anything, and when you feel broken, then, and only then, do you get the chesed from Hashem. And therefore, concludes the Lev Aharon so beautifully in the last paragraph on the left-hand side of page number 3. V'aparsha alazono senes lanu chizuk. He says, this gives us chizuk. This is why we do it on Hoshana Rabbah. Ki bizman sheyas adam chesh ben nafsho. Because when a person introspects, v'yimsas atzmo malo chesronos, she'ein bo lo torah v'lo tefila v'shu maila, o midatova. And you've done the chesh ben nefesh. And you know what? You don't add up. You don't match up. Maybe you felt it on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but now you've had a little bit of a fallback. Maybe everything you've worked at now, 3 days later, 4 days later, you had a Sunday with your kids, you got angry again, you had whatever it was, and you've fallen back again. So you feel dejected. You feel broken again. Comes along Hoshana Rabbah. Comes along the Aravos. Ki kashir adam yode umakir es matzavo ashafo be'emes. When you feel like the Arava, when you feel like you don't have Torah or mitzvos, when you feel like you have nothing, dafka then, who could die veroy lekabel tovaso yisbarach. That's not a negative, but actually it opens you up to the ultimate positive. Because then you realize that you're dependent on one person and one person only, and that is Hashem. It's not because of you. It's not because whether you're deserving, not deserving. It's not because of gimmicks or bartering that you made with Hashem on Yom Kippur. Rather, you do your part, and you do the best that you can. And sometimes you hit the bar, and sometimes you fall a little short of the bar. Sometimes you felt it on Yom Kippur, and then you retracted right afterwards. But on Hoshana Rabbah, we pick up the Aravos. And as he says, it's not that the other Gimel Minim lift up the Arava, it's the Arava that lifts up everything else. Because the Arava reminds us that even when we have nothing, that is when we realize that it's all from Hashem, that it's all a chesed from Hashem. So that is a beautiful idea from the Lev Aharon. So we saw idea number one was from the Av Bezin of Papa about what does it mean, Baruch Marchiv God. God is Gimel Dalid, Gomel Dalim, which reminds us that bracha, all of our wealth, all of our brachos, they become blessed when we are Marchiv God, and we realize that it is share other people and not to keep to ourselves. The second idea comes from the Lev Aharon, the Satmar Rebbe in Monroe, who taught us what is the Arava. What do we think about when we hold the Arava? We think about that even when we have nothing, even when we might have fallen short, and even when we might feel broken, and even when we might not feel like we have Torah or mitzvos or anything to be able to come to Hashem with, dafka then we can come to Hashem. Because that's when we realize that it's not because of us. And it's not because of some gimmick or some bartering system that I had from Hashem. But rather, I throw myself before Hashem and I say, it's because of you. It's not because of me. And that's what opens us up to the chesed from Hashem. It's that humility. It's that bittul. The Rabbi Goldberg spoke about it in Shabbat Shuvah Drasha. That's the arava that we hold on Hoshana Rabbah, that when we have nothing else, we still have the Arava that lifts up everything else. That is idea number two. Idea number three comes from the Netziv. Here we come to Sefer Bereishis. Of course, we don't just end the Torah, but we quickly begin the Torah anew again. And there we have the creation of mankind. And the Torah uses a very strange language. This is in chapter 2, verse 7. Vayitzer Adonai Elohim es Adam afar min Adama. Hashem creates mankind from the dirt of the ground. Vayipach be'apav nishmas chayim. He blows into him. Vayi adam lenefesh chaya. And mankind becomes a living being. Ask the Netziv, if you notice in the Pasuk there, we're on page number 4 now. He says, if you paid attention to the Pasuk, you'll notice that there's almost a redundancy there. The Pasuk says, Vayipach be'apav nishmas chayim, that Hashem blew life into mankind, And then it says, Vayi Adam lenefesh chaya. And then mankind became alive. So ask the Nativ, I understand. If Hashem already blew life into him, wasn't he alive before it says, Vayi Adam lenefesh chaya, that a man was alive? If he was alive, why do you have to tell me he's alive again? Secondly, this idea of lenefesh chaya doesn't just appear by mankind. It actually appears by the animals as well. If you look at the creation of the animal, it says, Vayizkol nefesh hachaya. Use the same language of alive by animals that it does by mankind. So what makes human beings so special? So we all know the famous Unculus that says, and he quotes it here, that what does it mean when it says, Vayipach be'apav nishmas chayim, that he blew into him, ruach memalala, that Hashem blew into us something more than, he blew into us the ability to speak. The ability to speak. That's the famous Unculus. But listen to this unbelievable Nitziv. It's going to blow your mind away. The Nitziv doesn't just say it here. He says in Parshas Veschanan, which I quoted for you in page number 5. He says in Parshas Ekev as well, which I didn't quote for you because you'll trust me at a certain point. But listen to what he says. Go to page number 4, the underline. He says, Havala Inyan. He says, what does it mean that there's a redundancy? That he blew life into man, and then man was alive. And how does it differ than the life of the animal? So he writes here, Tishoresh chai b'lashon ha-kodesh, the word alive in the Hebrew language, mashmo pam chai v'lomes, sometimes it means that you're actually alive, like physically alive, upam, but sometimes it's chai v'lo atzav, that you're alive and not that you're, what's atzav, atzuv in Hebrew? Sad. And not that you're sad. V'aynu shu tachlis ha-shlemosh efshar b'osoberia. In other words, there's physically being alive, and then there are people that are alive physically, but they're not really alive because they're overwhelmed with such a sense of sadness and such a sense of brokenness that even though they're physically breathing, but they're not functioning with a certain sense of clarity and a certain sense of purpose, what we would call in the Hebrew language, they might be alive, but they have no chiyus. They have no real life to them. And so therefore he says, now we understand. First of all, he quotes Tosas in Avodah Zarah, which talks about a trefa. And there it says that what does it mean to be alive? Bari vizaris. In other words, bari means not just healthy, but zaris means there's like a certain alacrity. There's a certain skip in your step. There's a certain bren that you carry yourself with. So it's not that just you wake up and you felt your pulse and you were alive, but rather that you had this hislavas, that you had this energy, that you had this excitement, that you had this purpose of mission. And therefore, if you skip down to my next underline, "V'adam Yisrael shenotzer liyospo nefesh Yisrael margish be'avodas Hashem." A Jew who's born as a Jew, so it's not just that he's alive in the sense that he has a pulse, but he's margish be'avodas Hashem. We understand that there's a purpose, that there's a mission to why it is that we were created. Lo mikri chai ela kashiru b'shleimish yitziraso. A person's really alive when he understands that there's a purpose, that there's a fulfillment to his life. As the Pasuk says, V'tzadik be'emunaso yichye. That a tzadik isn't just alive because he has air in his lungs, but rather be'emunaso yichye. He understands that there's an emuna, that there's a purpose, that there's a mission, that there's a clarity for why he is alive. And therefore he says, now you understand the Gemara in Brachos, where the Gemara in Brachos says, Rishayim b'chayim kruim mesim. That a Rasha, even when he's physically alive, he could have air in his lungs, but he's karoy meis. Why? Because he's not fulfilling his mission. He's not fulfilling his purpose. And so therefore, says the Nitziv so beautifully, that there's being alive and there's being alive. That a person can have a pulse. A person can physically go through the day. But if he doesn't have a purpose, if he doesn't have a sense of mission, if he doesn't understand why Hashem created him, if he's so broken and he's so distraught and he's so sad that he's just going through the motions, so he might be physically alive, but he's not spiritually alive. Someone who's spiritually alive, says the Nitziv, is not just that he's physically breathing in air, but he understands the purpose for his creation. Now, says the Nitziv, you understand the Pasuk. Vayipach be'apav nishmas chayim. When Hashem didn't just breathe life into us, but vayi adam lenefesh chaya, when he gave us that purpose, when he gave us that mission, when we're margish be'avodas Hashem, when we understand why it is that Hashem created us, then we are lenefesh chaya. Then we're truly alive. If you turn to page number 5, he says this in Parshas Va'eschanan as well. In Parshas Va'eschanan, right at the beginning of the Parsha, it says, Shma lachukim v'ashmashptim asher anochi malamed eschem la'asos l'man tichyun. Hashem says, I'm going to teach you all the mitzvos so that you should be alive. What does that mean, so you should be alive? And if Hashem didn't teach us Torah, we wouldn't be alive? I don't know. I woke up this morning. Whether I had my chavrusa this morning, didn't have my chavrusa this morning, I woke up this morning. So what does it mean, l'man tichyun, so that you should be alive? Says the Netziv, you have the underline there. D'mashmut chai kama pa'amim hu alizat ha'nefesh. What is alizat ha'nefesh? It means like the sweetness of your soul. V'oneg, in the pleasure. Shemasik bi'agil l'tachash le'musu ve'aklal t'chol hergish ruchani mosif chiyus. It's not just when I feel physically alive, but I feel my neshama, I feel a ruchnius, I feel a spirituality, I feel that chiyus in life as well. U'kmo she'chiyus kol adam tali b'ma she'margish oneg hadas ve'akavod v'meruba yosir mechiyus behema. That's what differentiates us from animals. Animals can be alive, but they don't understand their purpose. They don't understand why Hashem created them. But it's when it's shema l'chukim ve'al mishpatim, when we understand the mitzvos, and we understand why Hashem created us, and we understand that we're here for a purpose, then it's l'man tichyun. Then we are truly spiritually alive. That's why he quotes, and I didn't photocopy that, but he quotes in Parshas Ekev, now you understand the Mishnah Perkei Avos, which says, mar betorah, mar bechayim. More Torah, more life. What does it mean, more Torah, more life? Right? We know, what does that mean? He says it's because it's not just physical life, but it's spiritual life. It's this other element of being alive. It's not just air in your lungs, but rather it's this chiyus that we're talking about. Mar betorah, the more we nourish our neshamas, the more we spiritually feel alive. And so we thought three ideas in just under 30 minutes. Idea number one was from the Abbeis and the Papa, that Baruch Marchiv God, that Hashem has given each one of us brachos. Hashem has given each one of us resources. Hashem has given each one of us talents and gifts and abilities. But it's not to keep to ourselves, but rather it's to be like God. Gomel Dalim. It's to help other people. And when we're marchiv that, when we expand upon that, when we elongate that, when we realize that that's the purpose for why Hashem gave it to us, then it becomes a bracha. If we keep it to ourselves, it's a curse. If we share it with other people, then it is a bracha. Idea number two is from Lev Aaron, the Satmar Rebbe in Monroe. What does it mean, the Arava? The Arava is the lowliest. It doesn't have Torah. It doesn't have mitzvos. So what's the purpose? Why do we have a special holiday, Hoshana Rabbah, that we're going to take the Aravos? Ah, says the Lev Aaron, it's because when we feel that way, when we feel we have nothing left, we feel that we've fallen, we feel we're broken, we feel like we're short, we feel like we haven't matched up to the image of ourselves that we wanted to be, the Arava comes along and says that even then is when we realize that it's not because of us, it's because of Hashem. We open ourselves up to that, and that's Amir Tashem, where real bracha comes from. Idea number three came from the Netziv. The Netziv in three different places. You have the Netziv in Brachos, the Netziv in Va'eschanan, the Netziv in Ekev, that you can be alive, but not really living. That it's not just to be alive and breathing, but rather you have to function with a certain clarity and a certain purpose, a certain chiyas, recognizing that Hashem didn't just put air in your lungs, but He created you. He created you for a purpose. He created you for a mission. He created to be margish be'avodas Hashem, to understand and to appreciate why it is that we are alive. And once we do that, then we're not just going to be living, but we're truly going to be alive. And with that, I wish everyone a good kvittel. Rabbi Flug Shir will start in 1 minute.